So we're starting chapter 10. This is an interesting parak, kind of in between event. It's a sort of introduction to the next shofate. We do get two shofate mentioned in this parak very briefly, but it's not the most eventful parak. But there are some important and interesting ideas in it, nonetheless. Next, beginning with Yiftach, which is the next parak, we're back into Haftorah country, the Haftorah Parsha Sukkah, which always means that there are a lot more Mefarshim on it, so it's exciting. Many Mefarshim wrote only on the Haftorahs, so it gives me more material. But that's starting next time. So right from the beginning of the parak, parak Yod Pasuk Aleph, Vayakom acharei Avimelech lehoshia es Yisrael, Tola ben Pua, ben Dodo, ish Yisachar, v'hu yoshev b'shamir b'har Ephraim. After Avimelech, Tola the son of Pua got up, lehoshia es Yisrael, to save Israel, ben Dodo, either the son of Dodo, or his cousin, perhaps, Ish Yisachar, from the tribe of Yisachar, and he lived in Shamir, Behar Ephraim. Now, the Mefarshim take different approaches to this pasuk. What does it mean, Acharei Avimelech lehoshiach Yisrael? After Avimelech, to redeem Israel. We remember Avimelech from the last parak as being the son of Gidon, who killed or had killed his 70 brothers, made himself king, ruled for 3 years before he was met his death at the hands of a woman throwing a millstone out of a tower and then having his arms there singing him off. But he wasn't necessarily the greatest guy. So, based on that, the Malbim understands the words Acharei Avimelech Hoshiach Yisrael, after Avimelech to save Israel, that Avimelech didn't save them. He just ruled over them. There was no positive result from Avimelech being the ruler. And now, after Avimelech comes Tola to redeem Israel, to save Israel. The Radak, on the other hand, understands it to mean, after Avimelech did it, so too Tola ben Pua did it. In other words, that in some way, Avimelech also protected them and saved them from enemy armies, and maybe was considered, on some level, a positive force as the leader of Israel. And he got up, and Tola got up after Avimelech to save Israel, as Avimelech saved Israel, and so too Tola did. Now, it describes him as, it's just how you read the words. Vayakam, what does it mean? Acharei Avimelech Hoshiach Israel, after Avimelech to save him. That's the proof, how you understand the words. Either the pasuk is saying one thing or it's saying the other, but it's explicit one way or the other. It's just not clear which way it's being explicit. Yeah. The pasuk is telling you. I don't know, but the pasuk. If you read the pasuk that way, then the pasuk is telling you that he also saved them in some way. Now, Ben Dodo, right? If I was reading the pasuk, I would have just assumed it meant his cousin, and that's how the Radak understands it. However, the Malbim is bothered with that approach, because if he was in fact his cousin, then how was he an Ish Yisachar? How was he from the tribe of Yisachar? Because Gidon was from the tribe of Ephraim or Manasseh, I can't remember which one, but he was not from the tribe of Yisachar, And
would necessarily be a Menashe, not Issachar.
Okay, good. So Gidon was from Menashe, which means Abimelech was from Menashe. And how could he be his cousin? Okay, possible he was his cousin from his mother. That's a simple approach. Yeah, that's true, but his mother, right. So I'm not sure. The
tribal identity follows the father, right?
Yes, but they could be cousins through the mother.
Right.
So, I think, exactly, right. His father was from Yisachar, and his mother was, sisters with Abimelech's mother, or Abimelech's father, or Gidon, some way. So that's different approaches. Some of Farshim say he was his cousin, some just say Ben Dodo, just means the son of a man named Dodo. That's a name. That's a surname. Oh, you're saying what? No. I don't think that's spelled the same way. I'm not sure, but it's a different pua. This one's a male pua, I think. Because he's Ben.
Oh, you're thinking of Miriam, right? Yeah.
By Yishbotes Yisrael Esrim B'Shalosh Shana, and he judged Israel for 23 years. By Yamas, and he died by Yikaver B'Shamir, and he was buried in Shamir. A successful, peaceful 23 years, it seems, under the reign of Tola ben Pua. Gimel, Vayakam Acher of Yair HaGiladi. And after him got up Yair HaGiladi, Yair from Gilad, Vayishbot es Yisrael, Esrim Ustayim Shana. And he judged Israel for 22 years. Vayihivo Shloshim Banim. And Yair had 30 sons. Rochvim al Shloshim Ayarim, riding 30 Ayarim, either horses or donkeys, young, strong. Some say horses, some say donkeys.
The translation is colts in this.
Okay. Ushloshim Ayarim Lahem. And poetically, the pasuk uses the same word, Ayarim, but here it's referring to cities,
mm-hmm.
that they had 36 cities. They had Ushloshim Ayarim, meaning horses, Ushloshim Ayarim, and 30 cities. Lahem Yikru Chavos Yair. They called them Chavos Yair Adayom Azeh, until this day, Asher Be'eret, and Shmuel Hanavi writing Sefer Shoftim. So he's saying, until this day, it has the same name, Chavos Yair, Asher Be'eret HaGilad, which is in the city of Gilad. Now, Chavos Yair is a name that we're familiar with, perhaps from the Torah, because Yair was also, here we have Yair HaGiladi. There's another Yair that we know from the Torah. That was Yair ben Menashe, Yair the son of Menashe. And he conquered cities on the other side of the Jordan. And he called them, the Pasuk describes in the Torah, he called them Chavos Yair, the cities of Yair. So the Radak says that these cities were not the same cities, even though they have the same name. It's not the same Chavos Yair. The Malbim explained, though, that it wasn't the same Chavos Yair, but it was named after the other Chavos Yair. And that is because Yair ben Menashe conquered numerous cities, and, was very strong and very successful conqueror, and as a memory of this, a commemoration of this, or just like to show their own strength, they referred to their cities as Chavos Yair. The Malbim explains that wasn't necessarily the name of the city, but that was how they referred to the cities as Chavos Yair, and that's what's described as Lahem Yikru'u Chavos Yair. They would be called Chavos Yair, not necessarily that they were the actual names, but it was you know, sort of a, you know, a nickname for it, that just like Yair ben Manasseh conquered many cities, so too, look, we conquered many cities, and they would refer to them as Chavos Yair, but that wasn't actually the name of the city. In Divrei Hayamim, the pasuk describes something similar to this. In Divrei Hayamim, it says, Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Parak Beis, it says there was a guy, his name was Skuv, Uskuv Halidas Yair. Skuv had a son, he gave birth to a son named Yair. And he had 23 cities in the land of Gilad. And it says, Vayikach Geshur v'Aram es Chavos Yair me'itam. And Geshur and Aram took Chavos Yair from them. Etc. So, the Tzudas David there in Divrei Hayamim, he says that how did Yair acquire these? This whoever this Yair is described in the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. How did he acquire the 23 cities? So in Gilad. So Chazal say it's a Gemara. We'll talk about it in a moment. But the Mitzvah David brings the Chazal that he married a woman from Gilad, and he inherited these cities from her. And he throws in Einze Yair Aksuva Batorah. This isn't the same Yair that's written about in the Torah. This is a different Yair, the one being described in Divrei Hayamim.
But this is after Moshe's gone anyway, so...
Yeah, much later.
I know. So, why bother with this whole description about Yair if Yair is occurring at this point in time versus the original Yair that was written about in the Torah?
Right, so we're saying it's not the same Yair.
Right,
it's a different Yair.
Why bother? Because
he's the significant character of our parak so far.
I understand that, but he's
the current Shofet.
Right, but that would okay. And I read about that over here. It says that if it was the same Yair from the time of the Torah, he would be more than 300 years old.
Right. So everybody's telling us that it's not the same Yair.
Okay.
And this Yair, there's another Yair, maybe the same one, described in Divrei Hayamim. And again, the Mishnah David there has a similar idea, but he says like this. There's a Yair describing a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, and the Tzitzis David says it's not the Yair ben Menasheh of the Torah, and he says it's also not the Yair of our parak of Shoftim.
Oh,
it's a different, it's a third Yair.
Okay.
The Tzitzis David says, what? So he says he also had cities named Chavos Yair. He also called his cities Chavos Yair because he had the same name as Yair ben Menasheh. And he had numerous cities just like Yair ben Manasseh. And he says, Ukmo Yair HaGiladi HaShofet HaMuzkar B'Shoftim. And just like Yair the HaGiladi the Shofet had numerous cities, and whose sons had 30 cities, and they also called them Chavos Yair, so too the Yair of Divrei Hayamim also called his cities Chavos Yair. It says 23.
Were they competitors with each other?
I don't know, according to Mitzvah David, what time frame this occurred. I didn't go through the chapter of Divrei Hayamim. The way I came to this is because of Chaim Kanievsky learned that this is the same Yair.
Why would
Chaim Kanievsky, in Time of the Krah, he suggests that this is the same Yair as the one described in Divrei Hayamim.
Okay.
He says that, first of all, our Yair in Shoftim is certainly not Yair ben Manasseh, besides for that he was 300 years old, but also the Gemara actually tells us that he died in the days of Yehoshua. Yair ben Manasseh, it's explicit in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the Pasuk describes in Sefer Yehoshua, Vayaku mehem anshe ay kishloshim v'shisha ish, and the men of Ai killed about, it says, kishloshim v'shisha ish, like 36 men, and there's a machlokas, the Gemara brings a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda says it was actually 36 men, and Rabbi Nechemiah says, it doesn't say it was 36, it says it was about 36. It says, Kishloshim Meshisha Yisho, like 36 men. So what is that? It's Yair ben Menasseh, Sheshakol Keneged Ruba Shel Sanhedrin. It's referring to Yair ben Menasseh, who was equal to the majority of a Sanhedrin, and 36 is the majority of a Sanhedrin, a Sanhedrin is 70, and there may be some other remez there. I don't have the Rashi in front of me to explain that, but we see that Yair ben Manasseh actually died in the days of Yehoshua. So that's established, it's not him. So who is it? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, it's Yair ben Skuv. This guy described in Divrei Hayamim. Oh, it says he had 23 cities, and here we see that he had 30. It says, okay, he had 23 in Eretz Hagilad, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim. It says, Vayehi lo esrim v'shalosh arim be'eretz Hagilad, he had 23 cities in the land of Gilad. Reb Chaim Kanievsky suggests that he had 7 other cities elsewhere in Eretz Yehuda. And this is obviously not like the Mesudas Sovid, who said that it wasn't the same Yair. Now he adds in that we actually know that Yair ben Menasseh didn't have any sons. Yair ben Menasseh had no sons. The Rashi at the end of Parashat Matos says this, I think it's a Medrash, but we know that Yair ben Menasseh had no sons. And so, he suggests, he makes, you know, I think it's just a suggestion, an assumption, that when the Gemara describes that Skuv had a son named Yair, the Gemara there in Baba Basra is trying to prove that a little bit of a technical halacha, but the discussion there is what happens if a woman inherits property after her death. So normally, if a woman inherits any property during her lifetime, and then she dies, so her husband inherits her. The Gemara wants to know, how do we know that if she only inherits the property after her death? Let's say she has no brother. So her father dies. So she's the heir to her father. But she has no property. Sorry, but she is dead already. So it's going to go through her. So who does it go to? Does it go to her husband or to her son? So the Gemara says that it goes to her son. So if she inherited during her lifetime, it will go to her husband. But if she's already dead, it goes to her son. And it says, how do we know that? And it brings this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, because the pasuk says, Uskuv holy this Yair, Skuv gave birth to Yair, by Hilo Esrim Besolos Arim, and he had 23 cities. How did he get these 23 cities? It sounds like his father didn't have them. He had the 23 cities. So the Gemara says, must be, Skuv married a woman. She died while her inheritors were still alive, her sons. While her father was still alive. And then her father died, and her son Yair inherited it. That's how he inherited cities that his father never had, because he inherited them from his grandfather. But what we see is that this Yair that we're discussing in our parish, which Reb Chaim Kanievsky says is the same Yair as in Divrei Hayamim, he inherited the city from his grandfather. And we know that Yair ben Menashe had no son. And so he puts it all together. He wants to suggest that actually he was the grandson of Yair ben Menashe. And that it was actually the same city that it was the same Chavos Yair as Yair ben Menashe had, the same city. He directly inherited them.
Okay.
And what, 300 years? Okay, I don't know where that calculation comes from, but
it said that the person cannot be the same Yair, the son of Menashe, for if so, he would have lived more than 300 years.
Okay, but we could do three generations.
So Barbanel maintains that although he was not the same person, they were still the same person.
It doesn't bother me.
The inheritance is what you're talking about at this point.
It doesn't bother me so much. And
just for inheritance.
And he adds in, and that's perhaps why his name was Yair in the first place, because he was named for his grandfather.
I was named for my grandfather.
Very good.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Unfortunately, my grandfather only lived about 30 some odd years, and then.
So anyways, we have a number of different approaches as to who this Yair was. I mean, he was either just. You know, no one specific, no one related to Yair ben Menashe, just had the same name. He named the city that as a, you know, show, it was, the cities were described in the Pasuk as his son cities. They named the city that to show their strength, just like Yair ben Menashe. But Reb Chaim Kanievsky is suggesting, no, he was the grandson of Yair ben Menashe. These were actually an inheritance from Yair ben Menashe, and that's why his name was Yair. Pasuk Hey, Vayamas Yair, Vayikaver B'Kamon, and Yair died, and he was buried in Kamon.
Wait a minute now. This one says.
The
description on Pur says this Yair lived for 22 years. He judged Israel for 30 sons.
Yeah, that's what the Pasuk says. Okay, we're going to go on now.
Okay.
Pasuk Vav. Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael l'asos tzara b'nei Hashem. And b'nei Yisrael continued to do bad in the eyes of Hashem. This is the general flow of Sefer Shoftim, that as long as they have a strong leader, they're doing well. And then after that strong leader departs, then they fall into sin. Vayavdu es ha-be'olim, and they served the be'olim, the es-ha-ashtaros, the es-ha-lo-ke-aram, the es-ha-lo-ke-sidon, the es-ha-lo-ke-moav, the es-ha-lo-ke-bnei-amon, the es-ha-lo-ke-plishim, vayazvu es-ha-shem, ve-lo-avoduhu. So it describes many different gods that they chase after, the be'olim and the ashtaros, and then the gods of all these different nations. And then it says, Vayazvu es Hashem. And they abandoned Hashem, the lo avoduhu, and they didn't serve him. So the Mefarshim bring down the Gemara. Vayazvu, they abandoned him, mikol vakol. Right, they say, they completely abandoned Hashem, meaning they didn't even serve him, but they didn't even. Normally, generally, when Bnei Yisrael did Averos, served Avodah Zarah, they didn't forget about Hashem. They were just like, okay, there's Hashem, and then there's other gods, there's other idols to serve, and it's a partnership in some way.
They became secular.
Here, they completely abandoned Hashem and didn't serve Hashem at all, and completely served idols. The Pasuk describes seven different Avodah Zarahs that they served, Baal, Ashtaros, and five different, the god of Aram, Sidon, Moab, Bnei Amon, Plishtim, and the Gemara says in Be'a, the Gemara says that Permusa Mekata Ragrei on the Sunday until Yisrael. The turmut, which is some kind of bean or something, it's like a lentil of some sort, and it's very bitter, and its preparation requires you to boil it seven times. And then it becomes sweet and good. And the Gemara says that the Avodah Zarahs are compared, the Gemara is comparing the Avodah Zarahs that they serve to this turmut. That usually, with this, really, this turmut, not when we make it, but this turmut, this turmut, it took 7 times to boil it, and here they tried out 7 different idols. Now, usually, with the turmut, after boiling it 7 times, it becomes good. You boil it 7 times, and it becomes good. And they, tried 7 different idols, and even then they didn't become good. So the Gemara says that it's mekata raglam detonei Yisrael. The turmus like cuts off their legs in ways, and it brings a criticism to them that you're not even like the turmus. At least the turmus, you boil it 7 times and then it's good. You boiled up your idol 7 times. You tried 7 different idols, and even at the end of all that, still the pasuk described by Yazu as Hashem. They abandoned Hashem below Vazu. They didn't come back to Hashem. They weren't chozer lemutav. They didn't become returned to be good. No, la'azov is just to abandon.
So they became secular.
They became
agnostic almost, right?
No, it sounds related, but it's not the same.
But it sounds almost like they didn't.
What words are related?
Like Dizoyan, Dizayon, Nevazeh. I'm sure there's some way that it's related, but it's not the same thing. You have to read your purse. He'll relate them somehow. Okay. Pasuk Zion. Vayichar af Hashem be Yisrael, and Hashem became angry with Israel. Vayimkarein biyad Plishtim uviyad b'nei Amon, and he sold them into the hands of Plishtim and into the hands of b'nei Amon. Vayiratzu vayirotzu es b'nei Yisrael, and they broke or they oppressed b'nei Yisrael. That's vayiratzu vayirotzu. And again, sometimes they just broke, or they were meshaved, or in Pasuk Ches, they indentured, they enslaved. Bashana, he, in that year. Mona Esre Shana, for 18 years. Eis Kol B'nei Yisrael, all of Israel, Asher Be'ever HaYarden, that were across the Jordan, Be'eretz HaAmori, in the land of the Amorites, Asher Ba'Gilad, that was in Gilad. I guess the section of across the Yarden was the section of Gilad, Gilad being from the tribe of Manasseh.
Right over here. It's in God, actually. In God.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
God.
So they start their oppression on the eastern side of the Yarden, and they're going to make their way across. First they attack those on that side. And it's described, the pasuk said, that they oppressed them bashanahahi, in that year. And then it goes on to say, for 18 years. So what is the pasuk telling us? And they oppressed them in that year for 18 years. What does that mean? So the Mefarshim say that it began that same year that Gilad died. By Sanahi, in that year, the year Yair died, they began the oppression. And not only that, but there was no build-up in terms of the oppression. Normally, it's slow. You start to slowly attack, take things away, oppress, indenture, but it came full force right away. That the very first year, Bashanah, in that year, was as oppressive as the rest of the 18 years. There was no build-up. It came with full force from the start. Pasuk says, Vayavru b'nei Amon et ha-yardin, and the b'nei Amon crossed the Yarden, v'hilochim gam b'Yehuda u'v'Binyamin u'v'Beis Ephraim, to battle also with Yehuda, Binyamin, and Ephraim, v'teitzer l'Yisrael me'od, and they oppressed Israel greatly. So now they've crossed the Yarden, now they're in Israel proper. Pasuk Yod, v'yizaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem le'mar. And Bnei Yisrael cried out to Hashem. They cried out to Hashem, saying, "Chatanu lach, we have sinned to you, v'chiyazavnu es alokeinu, and we have abandoned Hashem, v'anavod es ha-be'olim, and we have served the be'olim." So, interesting pasuk here. First they say, they're doing tshuva, right? They're crying out to Hashem. They say, "Chatanu lach, we've sinned to you. V'chiyazavnu es alokeinu, v'anavod es ha-be'olim." So there's a vav here. And we have, or have we, what exactly are they saying? We have abandoned, or have we abandoned? So the David says that what they're saying here is that they've done both. One in addition to the other, and that they're saying, on top of that we've served Baalim, we've also abandoned you, and on top of that we've abandoned you, we've also served the Baal. Trying to say that these were both, were responsible for both. And that's why they say with the Vav, V'chiyoz avnu es elokeinu, and they're not questioning, that will be another approach that they're saying, did we do that? That's how the Malbim learns, but the Tzavit saying they're not denying it. They're saying that they did both. The Vav of the Chiyaz Avnu is adding to the second Vav, and the second one is adding to the first one. And what they're saying is we've done double sin, double duty here, and right, exactly. So that's why he's coming to try to explain that what they're trying to do is say, like, this is added to that, and that's added to this, and we've done both, and we are double responsible. We've abandoned Hashem, and we've served the Baal. The Malbim says, no, what they were saying was, they were saying, did we, v'chiyaz avnu es elokeinu, did we abandon Hashem, even though, they were saying, even though we served the Baal, but we didn't abandon Hashem, we just, we're using the Baal as the intermediary, we didn't abandon Hashem. Did we abandon Hashem, and serve the Baal? No, that's not what we did, we were just using the Baal as the intermediary, forgive us, but we didn't do so bad. And we saw already that the Gemara tells us that no, they did abandon. The Pasuk really said, back in Vav, Vayazru es Hashem, and they abandoned Hashem, the law of Adu, and they didn't serve him, even b'shutzpah, that there was no partnership here, there was no intermediary, they had actually completely abandoned Hashem. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Hashem el Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem said to Bnei Yisrael, through a messenger. No. Vayomer Hashem el Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem said to Bnei Yisrael through some sort of messenger, malach or navi, "Halom in Mitzrayim u'min ha'emorim u'min b'nei Amon u'min plishtim, he's going to say, I've saved you. I took you from Mitzrayim and from the Amorites and from the Bnei Amon and from the Plishtim, Vitzidonim, Va'amolek, Uma'on, Lachatzu Eschem, and all these different nations oppressed you, pressured you, Batisaku Elai, and you called out to me, Va'oshio Eschem Yadam, and I saved you from their hands. Ve'atem, Azavtem Osi, and you abandoned me, Batavdu Elkim Achirim, and you served other gods, Lachin lo osif lo shia Hashem, and therefore I will not continue to save you. Hashem says, we're done. I saved you enough times, I'm not saving you again. Lichu vizaku el ho Elohim asher b'chartem bam. Go, Pasuk Yidalad says, go, cry out to the God that you've chosen. Cry out to your idols, Hema yoshiu lachem be'itzar Hashem. They'll save you in your time of difficulty. Why are you coming to me? Go cry out to the gods that you serve. Hashem sent a Navi or a Malach of some sort to really give it to them. You've abandoned me. I'm not saving you. You want to be saved? Go daven to the idols that you've chosen. Vayomru b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And b'nei Yisrael said to Hashem, Chatanu, we've sinned. Asei atalanu t'chatov b'einecha. Do for us what's good in your eyes. But please, please save us. Again, yeah, they're crying out further. Malbim says they were... No, I mean, I don't think so. They daven, and there's no word. Right, in the past I saved you. He said, I've had enough. I've saved you enough time. And exactly, that's what he says. That's what he says. I'm not going to save you anymore. So now they cry out, renewed tefillos, renewed tshuva, and the way the Malbim explains, they were saying, at least, you know, I say atolano katol beinecha, as in, let us, you should at least punish us personally. Don't let us fall in the hands of man. If you want to exact retribution on us, if you want to punish us, so, niplana biad Hashem, biad Adam alatola, right? Like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, no, don't let me fall at the hands of man. Let me fall at the hands of Hashem, but not at the hands of man. That's what they were saying, right? Achatilenu, at least save us from the hands of man. Vayasiru es alokei anechon mikirbam, and they removed the foreign gods from their midst. Both, I think we can understand this to mean they got rid of them physically, but also mikirbam from their inside. They really did tshuva internally. Vayavdu es Hashem, and they served Hashem. Vatiksar nafso ba'amal Yisrael. And now the pasuk describes something, a very important pasuk for much discussed term, Vatiksar nafso ba'amal Yisrael, and his nefesh, his soul, became short at the toil of Israel, literally. Rashi says, what's that describing? Rajiv Kavayako Lohaya Rechavas Makom Lisbob Likanesham Sara Sahaya Rabamo Yisrael. It's Kavayako, it's as if Hashem didn't have room in his, he couldn't handle the Tzara, the pain that Bnei Yisrael was experiencing. The Tomar Devora, in describing 13 Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are supposed to emulate. So, one of them is the Midah of She'eris Yisrael, that Hashem is like a relative of us. She'er. With She'eris Yisrael, he makes himself like he's related to us. The Tomar Devora writes that just as man behaves down here, so too we will be Zoche to awaken and open up that Midah, that attribute, Milamala, from Hashem. That as we behave, the Hashba from above will be the same. And he goes on to say that this Midah of She'eris Nachalaso, of being like a relative, is that it's Midas Habari Yisbarach. It's one of Hashem's Midas, the Hargish Kurva Li Yisrael Am Kurovo, to feel a closeness with Yisrael, the nation that's close to him, Ad Kedekach, to the point, Shekavayachu Yisrael Lisbol Tzarem, Rukonim, that it's as if he can't handle their pain and their insult, Mitama Kurva, Mamish, the Yisrael Imayim, because of the closeness that he has with Bnei Yisrael, and because of this, he has mercy on us, even though they don't deserve it. Actually, that's not a direct quote. That's how Rav Matityahu Solomon explains the Tomar Devorah. And then the Tomar Devorah brings our pasuk as a makar for this idea that Hashem has this closeness and that Hashem feels pain and will save us, even like a relative, even when we don't necessarily deserve it, but he'll step in for us. He brings this pasuk, "Vatikstar nafsho ba'amo Yisrael," that when we had tsar over this, we were oppressed by the Bnei Amon, that Hashem, even though we didn't necessarily deserve it, "Vatikstar nafsho ba'amo Yisrael," he was short. He didn't have room, as Rashi described. He couldn't handle the pain that we were experiencing, and therefore he was willing to save us anyway. The Sefer HaIkrim also similarly brings this pasuk when he's discussing that how in the Navi we often find descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that make him sound physical. And he says it's certainly not that Hashem has a guf, that Hashem is physical in any way, but rather these are ways that the Navi spoke in ways that we can understand, ways that make sense to us. And he writes, that's what this pasuk is, "Vatikta nafsho ba'amal Yisrael," to us a pal to Adam HaMitzayr, it describes a action or a emotion like a person in pain, the nafsho kitzara ba'amal chaveiro, and his nefesh, his soul, he feels short or contracted because of the pain, because of the toil of his friend, and he puts himself into a difficult situation in order to save him. So too, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Others learn the Mitzvah David explains this pasuk, "Vatikzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael," meaning that his Vatikzar, he shortened what he wanted to do, his will. Nafsho, he translates to mean his will, that he contracted his plan, basically. He restricted his will in terms of his intent for the Amal Yisrael, for the toil that he was going to put Israel through. And that while originally he had planned for them a great amount of toil, "Vatikzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael," he restricted the amal, the toil that he had planned for Israel because of their tshuva.
Wouldn't this be similar to what happened with Bnei Israel when they were down in Mitzrayim?
Very good. So the Sefer HaIkrim actually quotes that. The Sefer HaIkrim says that. He says similar to what we find described in Mitzrayim, that Ra'o Ra'is Yes Ami Am Yashir Ben Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I see the pain of my nation in Mitzrayim. Ves Tzakosim Shemat Nivnei Nogshav Yadat Yes Machovav. I know their pain. Va'eridu Hatzilu Mi'am Mitzrayim. I'll go down to save them from Mitzrayim. Very good. So he makes that connection as well. Va'itzaku Bnei Amon, and the Bnei Amon gathered, Vayachanu Ba'Gilad, and they camped in Gilad. Vayeosu Bnei Yisrael, and the Bnei Yisrael gathered, Vayachanu Ba'Mitzvah, and they camped in Mitzvah. Hayomru Ha'am, Sarei Gilad, Isharayu, and the nation, the officers of Gilad, said each to his friend, Mi Ha'ish Asher Yachel V'Hilachim Bnei Amon, who is the man that can begin, that can lead us into battle against Bnei Amon? He should be the leader of all those who dwell in Gilad.
Okay.